Okay, so the main goal here, there's two parts. I'm going to do it in two sections. One, the first section, we're just going to ask questions on the Parsha. And then the second part, we'll try to go back and deal with the questions one by one based on one pathway, one mahalach throughout the Parsha. Okay? But to me, you could like my answer, you could not like my answer, but as I'll try to demonstrate in the weeks to come, it's an answer that flows throughout Sefer Bereishis. It's really relevant to the relationships between all the fathers and sons in Sefer Bereishis. So, but even if you don't like my answer, it's important to ask these questions. Problem with Sefer Bereishis is we stop asking questions because we get used to it from when we were 2, 3, 4 years old. And we're used to these stories and we think that they're, you know, oh yeah, that's just what happened. Right? That's the problem with knowing the ending to a story and trying to go back and read it again, thinking the whole time that you know what's going to happen in the end. You stop analyzing the story for what it's worth. So a lot of times when we read Sefer Bereishis, we stop asking questions because we know what's going to happen already. But if you just step back and you look at the relationships between especially the fathers and sons in Sefer Bereishis, it's wild. It's so difficult to understand some of these relationships. And I'll try to demonstrate as we go. So we start off, the first thing is, it says Yitzchak Avinu got married when he was 40 years old. He married Rivka, right? And it says that his wife was an Akara. Vayetar Yitzchak LaHashem Lenochach Ishto Ki Akarahi, right? He davened for his wife because she was an Akara. And later we say, that how old was Yitzchak when they were actually born? V'Yitzchak ben Shishim Shana Beled Esosam. Yitzchak was 60 years old when his children were born. So according to Rashi, there is, you know, a cheshbon to be made, assuming, again, we don't understand what this means, honestly, but assuming Rivka was 3 years old when he married her, so he didn't have relations with her right away. He waited till she grew up, and then they had relations, and that, so then already, by let's say 10 years till they actually had relations, and then another 10 years, she was an Akara. Right, so it took 20 years, but Lemaisa, no matter how you slice it, no matter how old you assume Rivka was when the marriage started, it took 20 years to have their children. So it was an Akara for 20 years. Right? You get this? Didn't have children for 20 years. Now let's go back and see what Rivka Imenu said during the pregnancy. It says she got pregnant, Vayisro Tzatzuha Bonim Bikirba, Vatomer Imkain Loma Ze Anochi. Right? She said that there was some kind of infighting going on inside of her. The children were restless inside of her. She didn't know they were two children at the time. But there was some craziness going on inside of her. And what did she say? Im kein, if this is so, lama ze anochi. Why am I thus? I don't know how you translate that in English, but why am I like this? Let me ask you something. I know some people who had trouble getting pregnant, right? And then when they were pregnant, they had difficult pregnancies. I can honestly say that virtually none of them complained about their pregnancies. They were so upset and so sad that they couldn't get pregnant. So difficult. Infertility is one of these things that just destroys families, you know, and they're so upset that they couldn't get pregnant. So what? You know, a little bit of pain, 9 months of pain, you know, you have to go on bed rest for 2, 3 months, whatever it is. So it's crazy boring and it's painful and it's nauseating, etc. But this is what I doubt for. I should be on bed rest for 9 months straight if I could just have a baby. And yet we have Rivka Imenu saying, I'm having some kind of difficult pregnancy, even if it was the most difficult of pregnancies. Even if it was incredibly difficult. Im kein lama zanochi, if this is it, if this is what pregnancy is all about, why am I doing this? Right? Isn't that a little overly dramatic, considering she was in Akara for 20 years? She couldn't have kids for 20 years. So you want to argue like Rashi, okay, Beseder, she couldn't have kids for 10 years. She couldn't have kids for 10 years, and now she's just like, oh, boo-hoo, pregnancy's tough. Isn't that strange? Again, I'm in the question segment, I'm going to speak a little bit chutzpahdik about the avos and the imos, which obviously is not my intention for real. My intention is to ask the questions and to show you why that can't possibly be. So I'm going to speak in a little bit of a harsh way, but it's not my intention to be harsh. Okay? Just keep that in mind. I don't want to get struck by lightning. So So we continue on. Okay, so she goes, Vatelech lidroshes Hashem. Also, when you have a difficult pregnancy, you know, she goes to ask God. You go to ask God. Go ask the doctor. Why God? Right? Okay, so that's, by the way, also important to keep in mind, Kemat every single question I'm going to ask is asked by, at least by Rashi, and also by Kemat all the other Mephorshim as well. Well, this, you can't ask a good question on anything in Chumash that hasn't been already asked by many of the Mephorshim. But I just want to ask them in such a way that it makes it very clear what I'm trying to do. Okay. So she goes to ask Hashem. What happens? Vayomer Hashem la. Hashem says to her, Shnei goyim bivitnechu, shnei leumim mimeayich yiparedu. There are two nations inside of you, meaning you have two children. There are going to be two split nations. And they're not going to be close. They're going to be two totally different nations. Right? So she now knows that it's twins. And not only is it twins, it's two totally different twins. And their destinies are totally different. And she knows this in advance. So my question here is just, did Yitzchak Avinu know this as well? Meaning, what does it say? It says, Vayomer Hashem lo. Hashem said to her. Right? Didn't say to them. It says to her. They both daven. When it comes to davening, right? And when it comes to her getting pregnant, so it speaks about Yitzchak and Rivka. But now Hashem only spoke to her. So did Yitzchak know about this or not? Continuing on. Right? Vayimlu Yameda Letus. So they have, she has twins. The first one comes out. He's red, full of hair. They call him Esav. The second one comes out. He's holding on to Esav's heel. They call him Yaakov. Fine. So right off the bat, it's blatantly obvious that these two kids are different. Right? They look different. Esav already comes out looking like a wild man. Right? He comes out hairy, red. Right? And it says specifically, Vayikru'u Shemo Esav. Rashi has a famous comment over there. Vayikru'u Shemo Esav. Everyone called him that. Because anyone who took one look at him knew what he was all about. It was so apparent, it was written all over him. So it's important to keep this in mind. Everyone knew what Esav was about. Then Yaakov comes out, second, and it just says, Vayikru'u Shemo Yaakov. Right? Yitzchak called him Yaakov. One individual called him Yaakov. Not everyone, meaning not everybody knew what Yaakov was all about, but everybody knew what Esav was all about. Esav was there was no subtlety to Esav's game. He was completely Esav. He was Esav on the outside, he was Esav on the inside. Okay. Continuing on, right? Continuing on, Vayigdelua ne'arim, vayhi Esav ish yodei tzayid ish sadev, Yaakov ish tam yoshev alim. When they grew up, their differences became more, even more apparent, more obvious. Esav was the hunter. Yaakov was the ish tam yoshev ohalim. He was a simple man. He was a complete man. He sat in the tent. So Esav was the worldly man. He was the hunter. He knew how to deal with the outside world. Yaakov was the yeshiva bacher. He sat inside. He chilled. He was on the quiet side. He was not a worldly man. And now comes perhaps the hardest pasuk in the entire parsha to understand. Vayehav Yitzchak es Esav kitzayid befiv, virivka oheves es Yaakov. Raise your hand if you're an only child. So we have zero only children. So now, I'm assuming everyone here has at least one sibling, probably more. Right? Which one of the siblings does your father love, and which other one does your mother love? Can you answer that? I hope you can't answer it, but again, it's so blatantly obvious that the Torah comes right out and says it. Yitzchak loved Esav, and Rivka loved Yaakov. Seriously? You hate your other son? And by the way, there's no in-between. When you love one son, you hate the others. That's the way it is. Saying, when you love one son, you're by definition hating on the others. Really? What? He's not special like my real son.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. That kid's going to need a lot of therapy. I'm saying it's far from a good way to parent. I just want to make something clear. If I knew someone and it was so obvious that they only loved one of their kids, I would consider that person a horrible, horrible person. Now, maybe I'm being too judgmental, but I don't think so. I'm like, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the capacity to love our children. And when you have one kid in your family, you think you put all of your kochos, all of your love into that one kid. And then when you have a second kid, you realize, no, there's room. There's room for all the kids. There's room to love every single kid. It's not a difficult thing. Parents who are otherwise horrible people in other aspects of life, they could be ganavim, they could even be rotzchim. They could be parents who are murderers, but they have five kids and they love all five of them. And here, Yitzchak Avinu, Rivka Imenu, they only have enough love in their heart for one kid and they have to pick, is it going to be Yaakov or is it going to be Esav? That's the one I'm going to love. I got no more love left. How can that be? It's equally awful. I'm sorry. There's no good way to put it. How can you only love one kid? And it gets even worse, because at least Rivka comes out of it looking okay. She loves Yaakov. Why? Because she loves him. Why does Yitzchak love Esav? Ki tzayid b'fiv. We just said Esav was ish yodea tzayid. He was a man who knew how to hunt. And what did he do with his hunting? He gave the food to Yitzchak. Vayehav Yitzchak es Esav ki tzayid b'fiv. Because he fed him. He gave him the hunting, the products of his hunting. He says, Dad, you are not going to believe this new steak recipe. Right? I got rack of lamb. I got venison. I got all the best stuff here. Right? Dad, eat up, because now you're really going to love me more than that loser brother who sits and learns all day. Right? I'm saying, like, what are we talking about? Yitzchak Avinu, he's so into food that, you know, that if you give him a good steak, he's yours. And if you don't, Shem Yerachim. Shem, you know, not even Hashem can save you from the wrath of Yitzchak if you don't cook him a good meal. It's crazy. No? You don't understand what I'm saying? It's insane. You love one son, and why do you love him? So what if he's a chayera? But he knows how to grill. Saying, so what? Everyone in the world knows what Esav is. Vayikru shemo Esav. Everyone knows what Esav is. He's a wild man. He's crazy. But he can cook. And that's enough for me, says Yitzchak. So much enough for me that I don't even have any room in my heart for my other son. That's unbelievable. And I just want to say, that can't be the pshat. Because, again, the theme I'm going for here is, the avos can't be worse than the worst person I know. You know, if you want to say, God forbid, it's not true, but God forbid, if you want to say that the avos and the imos were just average people like us, you know, so that's still ridiculous, because then why would we have to learn about them? Meaning, why would they be in the Torah? You know, that's what Greek mythology is all about, like having the gods have all these human flaws and characteristics. It doesn't mean the avos didn't have flaws. It doesn't mean they were perfect. Only Rabbeinu Shalom's perfect. But still, I'm not asking for perfection here. I'm asking for basic human decency. I'm asking, just don't be worse than a person I wouldn't even be friends with because I consider him a Russia. You know? I'm saying, like, don't be that bad. So that's, to me, that's the ultimate in all the psukim. It says, Vayehav Yitzchak es Esav kitzayid b'fiv Rivka eves es Yaakov. Okay, let's move on now. So now we have the incident of selling the Bechora, and now we go on to the rest of the parsha. Okay, so then we get off on a lot of other things, which are important, but not for our purposes. Then we have in the next parak, Pasuk Lamed Dalid. Vayhi Esav ben Arba'im Shana. Right, we already said earlier in the parsha, how old was Yitzchak when he got married? What? How old was Yitzchak when he got married? 40. Right? So now, how old is Esav? 40. He turns 40. Vayikach Isha. He takes a wife. He says, listen, my father got married at 40. I get married at 40. I do what my father says. You see, he really loved his father. Say, and I'll get back to that in a second. You see, he really loved his father. Vayikach Isha es Yehudis bas Be'iri Achiti ves Posmas bas Elon Achiti. He marries two women. What's the deal with these women? What's the deal with these women? Vatiyena moras ruach li Yitzchak ulRivka. Anybody want to translate that for me? They were moras ruach, right? What is moras? What's the lashon moras ruach? They were some. They were the cause of a bitterness to the parents. Meaning, it's not. It was not lost on, and not just Rivka, li Yitzchak ulRivka. Both Yitzchak and Rivka hated these women. So again, you can't argue that Yitzchak and Rivka both didn't realize who Esav was. First of all, back in the day, everyone knew who Esav was from the minute he started. Second of all, it says, why does Yitzchak love Esav? Kitzayid befiv. He knew he was a hunter. He didn't think he was some yeshiva bacher, right? And then he marries these women who are horrible women. And all they do is cause their in-laws pain. Yitzchak knows exactly who he's dealing with. There's some Mefarshim say that the reason Esav turned out, I mean, it's hard to even say such a thing, but the reason Esav turned out so badly is that, you know, that Yitzchak Avinu didn't accomplish Chanoch Lenar al Pi Darko. He didn't raise each kid according to what that kid needed. He didn't raise each kid according to that what that kid needed. He treated them both the same, and they weren't the same. It was obvious to everybody that they weren't the same. And therefore, one of them was Yotzi Latarbis Ro. One of them went off the derech. So obviously that's wrong on so many levels. But the first level it's wrong is that they were preordained to be different. Meaning, the nevuah from before they were even born is that each one's going to go in his own direction. And they're going to be two separate nations. So, you know, I don't know how you feel about fate exactly, but here they were fated to be different. Right? The Navi, Hashem said, and we say the Navi because Rashi tells us it was shame, you know, it was shame or shame and aver. But the bottom line is it says, Vayomer Hashem, God Himself said they are going to go be separate nations. God Himself said they're going to be different. Right? So you can't say, oh, you know, they could have been the same if Yitzchak had only been a good father. Right? And second of all, I could tell you how I know Yitzchak was a good father because I've been in this business, you know, for a while already, and you've been in the business of being a teenager for a little while. So how do kids whose parents don't get them feel about their parents? And I don't just mean they don't get them. Say, how do kids whose parents say, listen, there's one way to be, and that's how you have to be. Right? There's one way to be. Every single one of you has to be the same, and this is how you're supposed to end up. And if you don't like it, too bad, right? Like the old saying is, you're trying to fit a square peg into a round hole, right? So if you have one kid, he's a round peg, and you have another kid, he's a square peg, you try to fit them both into the same round hole. So what ends up happening to that kid? He doesn't fit, and he goes somewhere else. And now how does that kid feel about his parents? Hates his parents. Saying it's almost a done deal. The kid hates his parents. So if you're going to argue that Yitzchak Avinu, the reason Esav turned out the way he did is because Yitzchak tried to raise him the same way he tried to raise Yaakov, and it just wasn't good chinuch, I can prove to you that that's not true. Because how did Esav feel about his parents? At least Yitzchak. He loved him. He idolized him. He says, my father gets married when he's 40. I get married when I'm 40. And you can't say, oh no, Yitzchak picked out the shidduch, because Yitzchak hated these ladies. Esav idolized his father. Esav loved his father. Esav wanted to be his father in the ways that he could. In the areas of tzidkus, of righteousness, he couldn't. You know, there's different types of kids. There's some kids that say, my father, ugh, he's a jerk, he's terrible, he's the worst. And there's some kids they say, listen, my father's the man. He is the greatest, he's the biggest tzaddik, he's the best, he's the gadol ador. It's not me, I'm not him. I'm my own person. I do differently than him. You know, but I wish I could be him. I respect him. That's Esav. Esav respects his father more than anybody. Esav looks up to his father. He loves his father. He doesn't resent his father. If Yitzchak would be guilty of what some accuse him of, by definition, Esav would be so incredibly resentful of him. You hear? It's impossible to say that. Going further, so Esav gets married, and he has these wives who are very painful to Yitzchak and Rivka. So now we move on to the most famous part of the parsha, the incident of the brachos. Just reading pasuk by pasuk, this is such a difficult incident to understand, guys. Vayhiki zaken Yitzchak vatechena inav me'ra'os, vayikra es Esav b'no ha'gadol, vayomer elav b'ni, vayomer elav hineini. Oh, so he says to his older son, Esav, b'ni, hineini, right? That's how the avos talk to their sons. That's how sons respond to their avos, right? He said it in Parshas Vayera, right? He said, avi, vayomer hineini, b'ni, hineini, right? That's the way we respond. And Esav got that too. Esav knew how to respond to his father. He knew how to be respectful. He says, Hineini, I'm here, I'm ready to get to work for you. Hineino zakanti lo yedati yom mosi, v'ata sona chelecha. Take your kelim. Which kelim? Your Gemara? Go get your Gemara. We want to learn a difficult Rabbi Kiva Eger. He doesn't say that. He says, take your kelim, your telyecha v'kashtecha, take your hunting gear. V'tzei ha-sadeh v'tzudo litzoyid. And go out and hunt for me. Va'aseli matamim kasher ahafti va'avi ali va'ochela ba'avur tevarechecha nafshi b'terem amus. Go out there, hunt, get me some food so that I may bless you before I die. I have a couple of questions on this. Number one, again, what's with Yitzchak and the food? Again, like, I can't love you if you don't keep stuffing my face. What is with Yitzchak and the food? Everything is about food with him. Number two, I can't bless you unless you hunt for the food. Why does he have to hunt for the food? Yitzchak, if you look at the part we skipped, was a very rich man at this point. He had flocks and flocks of very edible animals. Why do you have to go hunt? Why does he tell Esav to go hunt? And third of all, if he's so scared of dying, why is he sending him out? Bless him right here, right now. Apparently something needed to happen in order for him to bless Esav. And it involved hunting and it involved food. What's going on? And then Rivka hears, and she says, oh, you see that he's going to bless Esav. So she plays her part. She tells Yaakov, go. He says, my father's going to know about it. She says, don't worry. What does she do? She gives him goat skins. She prepares the food exactly the way he likes it. And she gives him what? She gives him Esav's best clothing. Vatikach Rivka es bigdei Esav b'no ha-gadol ha-chamudos. Right? His best, his favorite clothing. Where did she get his favorite clothing from? His house? What, she just robbed his house? She made it? Again, I agree with you, but I'm just saying, when you just read the psukim, the kasha jumps out at you, no? That's why I have to understand. Every kasha that I'm asking, Rashi already asked and answered, but I think when you put it all together, you come out with something very clear. Remember, this is the mother who hated her son. This is the mother who not only didn't love Esav. She loved Yaakov. And yet, Esav, who has two wives, is still leaving his favorite stuff by his mommy. But he's more than 40 years old. He's more than 40 years old, and he's still leaving his best suit by his mommy. Isn't that strange? So they prepare everything, and now comes the famous trickery of Yaakov. Vayomer Yaakov elav. Oh no, sorry. Vayavo elavi. Vayomer avi. Vayomer hineni. Mi atabani. He says, avi, my father, just like Yitzchak said to Avraham, avi, right? And then he said, hineni. Mi atabani. Who are you, my son? Who are you? Isn't that a weird way to ask? Meaning, he said avi, and he answered, Hineini miatabini, who are you, my son? Well, you got one out of two chances. I don't know, when you go blind, doesn't your hearing get more focused? Can't you tell the difference between Yaakov and Esav? Who are you, my son? Strange question. Who are you, my son? Right? So he says, Anochi Esav b'chorecha, etc. Right? I am Esav, your firstborn. Right? Asisi kasher dibarta elai kum nosh shvav ochla mitzeda ba'avur tevarachani nafshecha. Vayomer Yitzchak el beno, mazeh mi'artel imtzo b'ni. How could you have done this so quickly? Meaning, now we get another insight. Yitzchak, for whatever reason, assumed right off the bat this was not Esav. How did he know it wasn't Esav? How does he know it wasn't Esav? Guys? He came back too quickly. So why does he have to ask the question, Mi'ata b'ni? He knows it's not Esav. He only has two sons. It's got to be Yaakov. Why did he ask Mi'ata b'ni? Furthermore, he asks him, how did you do it so quickly? What's Yaakov's answer? Right? Ki hikra Hashem Elokecha lefanoi. Hashem made it happen for me very quickly. Right? Hashem helped me. This sets up a red flag in Yitzchak's mind. This sets up a red flag. One second. Who talks like that? Yaakov talks like that. Esav doesn't talk like that. So he says, wait a second. Vayomer Yitzchak el beno. Oh, no, sorry, we did that already. Sorry. Vayomer Yitzchak el Yaakov, gishona va'amushcha b'ni ho'ata zeh b'ni Esav imlo. I have to touch you to know whether or not you're really my son Esav. That meaning, I don't think this is Esav. Esav doesn't talk like that. Esav doesn't, is not Shem Shemayim Shogar B'Thiv. Esav doesn't mention God when he talks, says, oh, Baruch Hashem, I had a lot of Hatzlacha finding the stuff. So, whatever you may have been able to delude yourself into thinking that Yitzchak thought Esav was really frum, clearly that's not so. Because when Yaakov says one frum thing, what happens? What? He says, this isn't Esav. Esav's not frum. So Yitzchak knows Esav isn't frum. And yet, he's ready to bless him anyway. Because he makes a good steak. Very strange. So, but what happens next is even weirder. What happens next is even weirder. He says, right? He touches him. And what does he say? The famous line. Hakol kol Yaakov v'hayadayim yidei Esav. The voice is the voice of Yaakov and the hands are the hands of Esav. What punctuation would you put after that sentence? Hakol kol Yaakov v'hayadayim yidei Esav. Exclamation point, question mark, exclamation point, some kind of... What'd you say? Right, winky face. Emoticon, I don't know. Is there a confused emoticon? Yeah, confused emoticon. Like, it's not a statement which is supposed to be the end of all statements. It's a statement which leads to further questions, right? Something's up. Something's fishy. He talks like Yaakov, but he feels like Esav. So if you had half a brain in your head, what would you do now? You would either know that it's not Esav, or you would say, nobody's getting blessed until we get to the bottom of this. Right? Everybody stop what you're doing. We're not moving on until we figure out what's really going on here. Right? That's what any thinking human being would do. Is that what happens? No, not at all. What does he say? What does he say? So the Pasuk says that Veloi Kiro Kiyaya Yadav Kidei Esav Achiv Siros Vayivrecheu. He didn't recognize him. Because his hands were you know, they were hairy like Esav, and he blessed him. He blesses him right away. He says, what's going on here? I don't know. All right. You know, all right, blessing time. You don't know, don't bless. Apparently this blessing is some kind of big deal. So if it's such a big deal, make sure you're giving it to the right guy. If you have a suffix for who you're dealing with, don't bless. Here he blesses him already. Then, after it says, Vayivarcheyu, it says again, sorry about that. After it says, Vayivarcheyu, it says again, Vayomer atah zeh b'ni Esav, are you my son Esav? Vayomer ani, I am. Oh, because that's totally going to give him up. Because he already lied two or three times, saying that he's Esav. So if I just ask him another time, he's going to crack. You know? He's never going to be able to lie to me one more time because he's clearly not capable of that. Meaning it's Yaakov. He covered his body with, you know, goat skins and hair, and he's planning some kind of covert operation. I mean, these are the only two possibilities in Yitzchak's head. Either it's Yaakov trying to trick me, or it's Esav. So, what's going on here? So he says, "Ah, I got it. I already blessed him a little bit. So now I'm going to ask him one more time. If I ask him this next time, he won't be able to answer me, you know, oh, it's really Esav. He'll crack." Right? So that's his big plan. His big plan is ask him one more time, you know, "Are you truly Esav?" Right? When I was a kid, I don't know if you've ever seen it. Probably not. When I was a kid, they had a commercial for Bud Light. Right, you ever see the Bud? You know, Bud Light always has good commercials. So they had a commercial for Bud Light. So there's a guy in the airport standing with a sign with a really hard name to read. So, you know, a limo driver. So the guy comes over to the limo driver. He says, "Driver, do you have any Bud Light in your vehicle?" So the driver's like, "Yes, we do." He goes, "Well, then I'm Mr. Galiwikich." He goes, "You're Dr. Galakowicz?" "Yes, I am." He like looks confused, and but he says, "Yes, I am." And like they had a whole series of commercials with the guy putting his foot in his mouth, but then in the end just saying, "Yes, I am." Right? So to me, that's what I think of, you know, probably because my mind is messed up, but that's what I think of when I read this pasuk. "Are you sure you're Esav?" "Yes, I am." Right? Like, could this be a worse interrogation? Saying this is pathetic. So now what do you do? Okay, we've solved that problem. We've solved that problem. Now what happens? "Vayomer hagisha li v'ochla mitzeid b'ni." Okay, so let's eat. "L'man devaracha nevshaf nafshi." I can't give you the real bracha until I eat for some strange reason. He eats, he gives him wine, he drinks. "Vayomer lo," he's like, "Come, I want to kiss you, my son. I want to kiss you." Some kind of formal kiss. Right? Okay, I don't know what the kiss is about. Why didn't he kiss him before? Why kiss him now? I don't know. But he wants to kiss him. And he comes close by Yigash Vayishak Lo. And he smells the smell of his clothing. And he blesses him. He keeps blessing him. He still doesn't know who he's talking to, but he can't stop blessing him. You know? You understand what's going on here? It's the second time he says he blessed him. And he hasn't even given him the blessing yet. This Yitzchak, he can't stop giving brachos. You know? He smells his clothing and he blesses him. Vayomer, and he says, this is the weirdest. I timed the pasuk of Virivko, Heves as Yaakov, Vayehav, Yitzchak as Esav is the most difficult pasuk in the parasha. This is the weirdest pasuk in the parasha. What does he say? Vayomer, and he says, you know, I don't know, you're a Jewish parent, you want to shef some nachas. So what do you say? My son, the doctor? Right? I don't know, my son, the billionaire, whatever it is. What is Yitzchak's nachas? Re'ei reyach b'ni. See the smell of my son, ki reyach sodeh, is like the smell of a field, asher beracho Hashem, that God has blessed. My son smells like a field that God has blessed. What on earth does that mean? It does not sound like, you know, the standard Jewish father shepping nachas about his son. My son smells like a field that God has blessed. Very strange exclamation on the point of Yitzchak Avinu. No? And then he gives him the brachos. So what are the brachos? V'yitena lecha Elokim mital ha-shamayim v'shamani aretz rov dagon v'sirosh. Should make you very rich. Shem should make you rich. Yavducha amim, nations should serve you. V'shtachavu lecha l'umim. You should be in charge of a lot of people. People should bow down to you. Have a gvir lachecha, you should be the gvir to your brother. What does gvir mean? It's lashon gibor, right? You should be the stronger one. You should be the backbone for your brother. Right? In Yiddish slash Hebrew, I guess, a gvir means a guy who's very wealthy, supports the yeshivas, you know, he takes care of business. Guy knows how to take care of business. He's a gvir. Right? This guy's a gvir lachecha, v'shtachavu lecha b'nei imecha, or arecha, or arecha. So this part is like more standard blessing type, or arecha, or v'arechecha baruch, right? Okay, end of blessing. Sounds a pretty great blessing. You know, you should be rich, and you should be the one who's the backbone of the family. Everybody should love you and be subservient to you. It's a solid blessing, but it's not like ridiculously out of the ordinary that it was like, needed to be stolen, and like this could only go to one of the, I'm saying, like, what's so great about this blessing? It's a blessing of Gashmias mostly. Right? It's a Gashmias blessing. And not only that, but I'll show you later, there are other blessings. Wait, you want me to get it for you? So, there are other blessings. So, let's move on a little bit. So what happens? Esav comes in, and he says, Yakum avi, my father should get up, v'yochel mitzei b'no, and eat from his son's food, or his son's hunting, b'avur t'varchani. Now, shecha v'yomer lo Yitzchak aviv, mi'ata, who are you? What do you mean, who are you? At this point, it should be abundantly clear who he is. Right? He shouldn't have to ask, whoa, what's going on here? This other guy is coming, who claims to be my son, talks like Esav, and now I'm not sure who it is. And what is that? We find this amazing lashon, very right back to back. Right? What does that mean, guys? What does that mean? What? Right? Wasn't very scared. He was very, very scared. Right? Vayecherad Yitzchak, and Yitzchak trembled. Charada gedola, a great trembling, ad me'od. It was a charada gedola, ad me'od. Very, very much. Meaning me'od is very much. Ad me'od. The most. The most scared you could be. That's what he was. Right? That's so weird. What was he so trembling about? What shook him? Something shook him to his core. What shook him to his core? He knew something was up. Right? See, he knew something was up. He knew that somebody might have been playing a trick on him. And yet, he gave the brachas anyway. So he knew, that, I don't know, 50-50, 60-40, 70-30, there was a solid chance that the other guy was Yaakov and just tricking him. Correct? There had to have been a solid chance because he wasn't clear on it. And yet, he gave him the blessing anyway. Okay, so now when it turns out he was wrong, he's like, ah, oh, jerky kid, I can't believe he did that. Okay, you could be mad, you could be upset, but charada gidola ad me'od, you knew something was going on. You're so shaken to the core by what happened? You hear the question? What's going on here? And now he says, who is this one who came and took the blessing? Right? Gam baruch yiyeh. He will be blessed. The right guy got the blessing. First of all, how does he know that? And second of all, even if he doesn't know it, the whole thing was a mekach tos. The whole thing was a fake and a fraud. Right? Your brother came, stole the blessings. I thought I was blessing you. Classic mekach tos. Right? There's no such thing as no backsies. Right? If I say, here, buy this computer off me, well, what processor? It has the latest processor. How much RAM? I don't know, 16 gig of RAM, right? How much, you know, what features? It has all the features. And then you bring it home. It's got a five-year-old processor, 2 gig of RAM, and none of the latest features. What do you do? Well, too bad, I tricked you fair and square. No, you bring it back to the store, the whole thing is a mistake. No? You hear? So, okay, so the whole thing was a mistake. Let's take it back. No, Gam Baruch Yiyeh. He will be blessed. Everything I did will stand. And not only that, but he says to Esav, I have no more blessings for you. Right, but Esav gets mad, similar to Yaakov. Vayitzak tzu'aka gidola umara ad me'od. He cried a great and very, very bitter cry. And he said, there are no more blessings for me, my father. And he says, what can I tell you? I already gave the blessing to your brother. You did not give the blessing to your brother. You were tricked into giving it to your brother. What do you mean? There's no blessings. Let me tell you something. The Rebbe never runs out of blessings. I'm saying, there are plenty of people, not saying the Rebbe's you like, but I'm saying there are plenty of people, you got more money, they got more blessings. Saying, what are we talking about here? Nobody runs out of blessings. Yitzchak Avinu is the only guy who has a limited supply of blessings? How do you run out of blessings? what's going on here? Your brother came, took the blessing, and says, I got nothing left for you. And then he begs him and begs him, right? He begs him and begs him, so he gives him a blessing. What's his blessing? It's a weird blessing, right? But a lot of it is pretty similar. Some of it's not. Hine, mishmanei ha'aretz yeh moshavecho mitala shamayim me'al. You'll be very rich. He blesses him with the same first part, right? Mitala shamayim u'mishmanei ha'aretz, he blessed Yaakov with. So he gives Esav the same blessing. You'll also be rich like your brother. Right? Then, the next part, not as much, right? But he gave him the same amount of gashmius, right? The alchar b'chot tichyeh, you'll live by the sword, v'esachicha tavo, but you'll serve your brother. But when he goes down, you'll be up. And that's the end of the blessing. So, he made, what was his blessing here? He made Esav the foil to Yaakov. He made Esav is our, he's our opposite, right? He said, Yaakov will be rich, Esav will be rich. But the difference is, Yaakov will be the gvir l'achecha, but Esav, when Yaakov goes down, that's when Esav will go up. Okay, so it's not as good of a blessing, agreed. But it's pretty similar. It's pretty similar. So what's Esav? So A, where did Yitzchak pull this blessing from? Meaning he said, I got nothing. Then he gives him a solid blessing, you'll be very rich. Essentially the same blessing. And B, he finds the blessing. And what's Esav so upset about? What was the big deal about the other blessing that it was so much better? You hear? Like it was such a big deal. I can't give the blessing to both. I have to give it to one. All right. Then what do we have? Parsha's coming to an end. Esav wants to kill Yitzchak. Esav wants to kill Yaakov. By the way, amazing. Esav's not mad at Yitzchak at all. You see how much Esav idolizes his father? He doesn't blame. You know, that happens sometimes. You know, sometimes parents are so blinded by the love for their kids. Anything their kid does wrong, they blame somebody else. Right? You ever seen that? I've never seen it. Anyway, but like, Esav was so blinded by his intense love. He's not even mad at his mother, by the way. Esav found out what happened. He's only mad at Yaakov. Not mad at Rivka, not mad at Yitzchak. And not only that, but he won't even kill. This is a murderer. He's a killer. He's a wild man. He will not touch his brother while his father is alive. You see what kind of love and respect he had for his father? Saying, Esav, I guarantee you, while he's walking down the street, if you look at him the wrong way, you're getting a beat down. Maybe even going to be killed. All right. So, saying, and yet, if you actually steal what Esav wants most, what do you get? Well, you should be killed. I should kill you right now. But since my father's still alive, I'll wait, I don't know, 20 years. I'll take my revenge in 20 years. 20 years? You see the incredible respect and love he had for his parents, especially his father. But see the incredible love he had for his father that he would not touch his brother while his father was alive. So he wants to kill him today. He's willing to wait over 20 years. So he says, my father's not going to live forever. When my father dies, I'll take out my brother. Right? Rivka finds out about this and she says to Yitzchak, she has to figure out a way to get Yaakov out of the house. So she says to Yitzchak, I hate the benos ches, right? So she says, katzti b'chayai b'pnei benos ches. Where is it? Right? Vatomer Rivka es Yitzchak el Yitzchak, katzti b'chayai b'pnei benos ches, im lika lokeach Yaakov isha b'benos ches, ka'elem b'benos ha'aretz, loma lichayim. If Yaakov wants to marry someone from Benos Ches, why am I even alive? What? It's the same drama we had from before, right? A lot of drama. Rivka's very dramatic, right? Im kein lama ze anochi. Why am I even pregnant if this is the way it is? If Yaakov's not going to marry the girl that I wanted to marry, why am I even alive? Very strange, no? He's very dramatic about everything. And Yitzchak falls for it, and he says, okay, good call. Let's send him out to Lavan. And look what Yitzchak does. If I was Yitzchak, what would I have said? You think Yaakov's too good for the girls around here? Everyone on earth is too good for Yaakov. He's a no good, conniving, cheating, stealing, terrible kid. He lies to his father. He steals from his brother. Says, who cares who he marries? Zachaya. Is that what he says? No, he says, good call. You're right. Yaakov is way too good for these girls. Let's send him over to Lavan. Let's send him to the, you know, to where I found you. Let's send him to the source of where all good things come from. Right? Because he's such a good boy. Really? Such a good boy? And look what he does. He says, Vayikra Yitzchak el Yaakov. What's the next word? Vayivarech Osa. He blessed him again. He can't stop blessing Yaakov. The one thing, if you're Yitzchak at this point, the one thing you shouldn't do is bless Yaakov anymore. Like, enough with the blessings. He stole your blessings. No, but he's just like, he blessed him twice before he actually gave him the blessings. So he blessed him three times then. He blesses him again now. Before he even says one word, he blesses him. And then he commands him, don't marry a girl from Benos Kanan. Go to Paddan Aram and go to the base Besuel and marry one of the daughters of Lavan, my brother-in-law, your mother's brother. And Hashem will bless you. And you should, you know, be fruitful and multiply, and you'll be a great nation. And Hashem, now look at this. Look at this. Everything up until now. So that's blessing number five he just gave him. Blessing number five. Blessing number six is probably better than all of them. Now he gives him v'yiten lecha as birkas Avraham lecha ulezaracha itoch. And the blessings of Avram should be for you and your children. Nothing up until this point mentioning the blessings of Avraham. He just gave Yaakov the real blessing. He gave him the blessing of Avraham. You hear? That should be for you and for your children. Right? And you will inherit Eretz Yisrael that Hashem gave to Avraham. The blessings he got before were, you should be rich, you should be the man, you should be in charge. Now he gives him the blessing of Avraham and he gives him Eretz Yisrael. That was never up for grabs, apparently. So what happens? He sends him Paddan Aram, etc., etc., and then the Parsha ends off with something strange. Vayar Esav ki ra'os benos Kanan b'nei Yitzchak. He's still trying to please his father. He's lost everything. He lost the blessings that he wanted. He lost the blessings of Abraham. He lost Eretz Yisrael. And he still wants to please his father. And he says, my father doesn't like the Benos Kanan. So what? He knew before his father didn't like the Benos Kanan. They hate his wives. Right? And what does he do? He goes, Vayelach Esav el Yishmael, Vayikachas Machalas Bas Yishmael ben Avraham, Achos Nevayos el Nashav Lolisha. He marries the daughter of Yishmael. He says, I got to marry from within the family. He marries. What are you picking Yishmael for? Strange, no? You say, we know that Lavan had two daughters, and he goes and he marries Yishmael. Strange ending to the parsha. Okay. So in the next few minutes, I want to try to go back and shed some light on all of this. Everybody got the questions? More or less? More or less. But my goal here was just to get you to read. You know? Read the parsha. Ask yourself what's really going on here. You ever wonder why Rashi had so much to write, why the Ramban has so much to write? Because when you read the psukim, there's a lot to ask. You know? Okay, let's go back. For starters, I want to take you back to the beginning. Why did Avraham send Eliezer to find Rivka in the first place? Why did he go to find Rivka in the first place? Guys? Not why couldn't Yitzchak go himself. That's to me, that's not so relevant right now. But why couldn't he just marry the daughter of Eliezer? You know the Medrash there? He says Ulai is spelled Eli, and Rashi points out there that he had a daughter who was a tzaddikess who could have married Yitzchak. He says, no. What did Avram say? You are from a nation that's Arur, and my nation is Baruch. We can't mix. This is, right? You guys maybe remember this from Chumash last year. What's the name that Chazal give to Sefer Bereishis? Sefer Hayitzira. Let me ask you something. When is creation finished? Sheni of Parshas Bereishis. By Sheni of Parshas Bereishis, it's over. Yetzirah is over. You got a whole book, right? By the time Chasen Bereishis is over, Sefer Yetzirah is over. So what does it mean? It doesn't mean Sefer Yetzirah. Sefer Yetzirah doesn't mean the creation of the world. What does it mean? Creation of Klal Yisrael, exactly. If you take Chazal's vantage point that the book of Bereishis is about nation building, and that's, by the way, that's why I think it's the Bahag calls Sefer Shmos Sefer Hasheni. What do you mean Sefer Hasheni? Why? It's brilliant counting on his part, right? Calls it Sefer Hasheni. Why is it called Sefer Hasheni? Because in the Bahag's opinion, Klal Yisrael is not built by the end of Sefer Bereishis. Sefer Hasheni is Sefer Yetzirah Part 2. At the end of Shmos, we're Mamash a nation. Right? Then we can call it other names. But certainly, Kulei Alma Lo Pligi, Bereishis is about the building of the nation. And when you take that Hashkafa, when you look at the entire Sefer Bereishis through those lenses, you understand very well what's going on here. And I'll show you, I hope to show you in the coming weeks, how that's almost the singular focus of every conversation that happens in Sefer Bereishis. Saying, you got to remember something else, right? Foreman pointed this out a couple of weeks ago. How many conversations did Avram have with Yitzchak in the entire Torah? Just that one, right? Ayeh asela ola. Elokim yirayes asela ola b'ni. So that means they never had a conversation? They had thousands and thousands and thousands of conversations. The Torah is not there to tell you what people ate for breakfast. Every conversation in the Torah is aimed at a particular goal. And I want to suggest every conversation you have here is aimed at the goal. Every conversation that happens between fathers and sons in Sefer Bereishis is aimed at this goal, building Klal Yisrael. And not only that, what is Avraham Avinu told at the Akedah? Kach es bincha es yechircha asher ohavta es yitzcha. Take the son that you love. Do we find anywhere in the Torah that Avram did not love Yishmael? I can prove to you that Avram loved Yishmael. How can I prove it? What's the last thing that happens in the end of last week's parasha? The second to last thing. The last thing is Ela told us Yishmael. By the way, interesting Ha'ara. Yishmael also had 12 tribes. I don't know why I never noticed this till this year. Yishmael also had 12 tribes. Torah goes out of its way to point it out. Yishmael had 12 tribes. I'm not really sure what it means, but apparently there's something special about Avram Avinu's children have to have 12 tribes. Anyway, what's the last thing that happens in Parshas Chayisara? Second to last. Sorry, keep doing that. What's the last thing that happens? Avram dies. Who buries him? Yitzchak and Yishmael. If I was Yishmael, the only reason I would ever go back there is to spit on his grave, Chas v'Shalom. I'm going back to bury the man who chucked me out of the house, who hated me. Oh, once he had a real son, now he gets rid of me. There's so much more there than just what the Torah says. You understand? There's no way he's coming back. But yet, you see, not only that, but he where does Yitzchak end up living? Where does Yitzchak end up living? Be'er lachai roi. It says it a few times at the end of last week's parasha. Be'er lachai roi. That's where Yishmael lived. If I was Yishmael, I would have said to Yitzchak, listen, since dad is still alive, I'll be nice, even though I don't like him. I'll be nice and I won't kill you. But you better not move in the same neighborhood as me. They got along. You understand? When the Torah says ahava, it doesn't mean what we're talking about. When the Torah says ahava, it can't mean what we're talking about. Because you see, in the colloquial sense, in the standard relationship sense, they all loved each other. Right? Saying, Yishmael loved Avram. Yishmael got along with Yitzchak. How can this be? Ahava means what? Ahava means what? Kach es bincha es yechidcha asher ahavta. So, without getting into it, and in order of Dessler's famous word, ahava means lashon hav. Right? It means a lashon of giving. Ahava is a lashon of giving. And he takes it in a different direction than I'm saying now. But he says, ahava means the one who is going to be the one that you pour all of your kochos into. The one who the blessing of Avram Avinu is going to go. He's going to be the next one of the avos. kach es bincha, es yechidcha asher ahavta. The yachid that you love. There's only going to be one of your two sons. Ki b'yitzchak yikarei lecha zera. He says, yes, Yishmael is your son. You love him in the sense of all fathers love all sons. And I guarantee you, Avraham was an excellent father to Yishmael. To the extent that Yishmael wanted to pay respects to his father, loved his brother. But he's not the future. Yitzchak is the future. And that explains the early part of the parsha. What happens here? Rivka is having this pregnancy, this difficulty in pregnancy, and she says, Rivka has a singular focus on wanting to have children. Why was she so upset she couldn't have children? I have a job here. I'm building the nation of Hashem. I'm building Klal Yisrael. And I can't get pregnant, and now that I am pregnant, I have this craziness going on inside of me, right? What does the Medrash tell us? She passed by a base of Odazar, he wants to get out. Why did I daven for this if I'm just going to have a kid who's going to be another Ovid of Odazara? And then she gets the answer. It's two nations. You will be the mother of Klal Yisrael, but you'll also be the mother of something else. It's two nations. And I would suggest very, very strongly that that's why the Torah says, Vayomer lo. Hashem tells her, not Yitzchak. Yitzchak did not know this prophecy. And Rivka never told him. I'm not sure why. I have my suggestions. You can see the Netziv, end of last week's Parsha. He has a suggestion. You can give other suggestions. She never told Yitzchak this prophecy, that Esav is not the future. Yaakov is the future. And when it says, Vayehav Yitzchak is Esav, Verivko Heves is Yaakov, it doesn't mean Yitzchak didn't love Yaakov like a father loves a son. But he said, I have to put my kochus into Esav. And I'll explain why in a second. Rivka Ohevet says Yaakov. Rivka already knew Esav can't be the future. Yaakov can be the future. But let me ask you something. We said already, if Yitzchak really knew who Esav was, and the text is clear, Yitzchak knew exactly who Esav was, how could he say Esav is the future? So I think the answer is very simple. Vayehav Yitzchak is Esav kitzayed befiv. Right? What did it say in the pasuk before? He Esav yo ish yodeet sayed ish sadev. Yaakov ish tam yoshevo alim. Yaakov was already a good boy from birth. Yaakov didn't need the parenting that Esav needed. Right? I have once a parent said to me, I taught two of his sons in two consecutive years. A parent once said to me, one of the boys was much more difficult than the other. So a parent once said to me, says, yeah, this one, he's easy. You water him, he grows. Says, this one, he drives me crazy, you know? Said, sometimes brothers are different. Yitzchak knew what Yaakov was, and he said, Yaakov doesn't need me like Esav needs me. He knew Yaakov was the frum one. Yaakov was always the frum one. Esav needs me, but I can work with him. You know how I can work with him? Kitzayed befiv. He hunts. He's a wild man. He's a worldly man. But what does he do with his hunting? He gives it to his father. He respects his father. He takes the stuff and he uses it l'shem shemayim. I can make him hein samti gvir la'achecha. I can make him the gvir for his brother. Every shul needs a rabbi and every shul needs a president. I don't know every shul, but shuls, they have rabbis, they have presidents. They're both important. You need a guy who knows how to learn up a sugya. You need a guy who knows how to give a drasha. And he's not as worldly. He's not as with it. He's not as powerful sometimes as the chairman of the board or as the president. Let me tell you something. To have a good chairman or president can make all the difference. And Yitzchak says, of course Yaakov's going to be the rabbi of Klal Yisrael. He's going to be one of the avos. But Esav can also be one of the avos. Why was Yishmael cast away? Why was Yishmael sent by the wayside, guys? No, but I'm saying, in Yitzchak's mind, why did Yishmael not make the cut? Because his mother wasn't one of the imahos. You understand? His mother was Hagar HaMitzris. It wasn't Sarah Imenu. But my boys come from they come from Rivka. They both come from Rivka. They can both make it. They're not going to be the same. But they can both be the next of the Avos. I have to train them accordingly. And Rivka said, no, no, no. Yaakov is the future. Esav is not the future. It's as terrible as to say, I'm going to love him. He's going to be my boy. He's going to be my boy so much that when he's over 40 years old, he's got two wives, he still loves his mommy so much that he leaves his best stuff with his mother. He trusts his mother more than he trusts his wives. But still, he's not the future of Klal Yisrael. He's my son, and I will love him till the day he dies. But he's not the future. You understand? And Yitzchak never accepted that. Yitzchak said, I can train him. I can make him to do what he does, L'shem Shemayim. And that's why the Medrash says, what did Esav say to Yitzchak to make him think he was so frum? You know what the Rashi quotes from the Medrash? How do you take Meiser from salt? How do you take Meiser from salt? Right. What kind of kasha is that? The answer is no. Yaakov didn't care how you take Meiser from salt because he wasn't a worldly man. He was sweating over the Gemara or whatever they did in those days. You know? Saying he was learning Torah, Ish Tam Yoshev Ahalim. Asa said, I'm a worldly man, but I'm always concerned with mitzvahs. I'm always concerned with making all my worldly things Hashem Shamayim. That's what he gave over to Yitzchak. That's what he wanted to trick Yitzchak with, because that's what Yitzchak wanted for him. You understand? And even as time goes on, Yitzchak said, I can do this. His life's work at this point with his sons was to make Esav into Esav, but L'shem Shemayim. Who was Esav L'shem Shemayim in the future, by the way? In the future of Tanakh, who was Esav but L'shem Shemayim? A very, very famous man. He was described, Esav is described, Vayetze HaRishon Admoni. The Navi describes, very good. Shmuel takes a look at David HaMelech, and he's Admoni. He's called Admoni. He's the red one. David HaMelech was a wild man. David HaMelech, you know how many men he killed personally? He was a warrior. Saying, but the Pasuk says, Admoni im yefe einayim. He had beautiful eyes. Lovely, he had beautiful eyes. Right? What does that mean, he had beautiful eyes? He says, no, Admoni im yefe einayim. He was red with beautiful eyes. So the Medrash says over there, when Shmuel took one look at him, he said, this is another Esav. I'm not anointing an Esav as king of Klal Yisrael. He says, no. Hashem says, im yefeh einayim. He has beautiful eyes. Whatever that means, I can't get into it now, but the Medrash continues, Esav midas atzmo horeg, v'zeh eino horeg ele midas ha-Sanhedrin. He says, Esav kills when he feels like it. David will kill, but he'll kill when the Sanhedrin says he should kill. You understand? He was what Yitzchak Avinu wanted Esav to be. David HaMelech wasn't the Gadol Ador in learning, but he was the great leader. He was the great leader of Klal Yisrael. He was the ultimate chairman of the board. He was the ultimate president. You know? He was the great leader. Yitzchak wanted Esav to be a David. And that's why he kept asking him, go hunt for me. Why? Because the ultimate Kabbalah of the Brachos will only come when you take your Kochos and you use them L'shem Shemayim. Take all the skills that are so natural to you, but use them to honor your father. And that's when I can bless you. And now let's look at the blessings for a second. Let's look at the blessings for a second. He comes in and he says, Avi, Hineni, Mi Ata Bini, who are you, my son? I would argue very simply that Yaakov and Esav sounded almost exactly alike. And that's why he couldn't tell. But he says, Mi ata b'ni. What do you mean? Who are you expecting? It's either Yaakov or Esav. So if he thinks it's Yaakov, let him say it. Are you Yaakov? No, he says, Mi ata b'ni. He says, now comes the test. Who are you? He thinks it's Esav all along. Never once did he think it was Yaakov. He thinks it's Esav all along. And he says, who are you, my son? Are you the man that I worked my whole life for you to become? Who are you? And he says, I am Esav b'chorecha, I did what you said. And then he says, how did you do it so fast? Hashem, your God, helped me. Ooh, listen to how my Esav talks. He says, could it be true? Could it be true that I was actually successful? Can it be? And you can, Bezrus Hashem, you'll all be parents one day. There's nothing like seeing a kid actually become what you can know he can become. It's an amazing, amazing feeling of accomplishment. And what does he say to him? What does he say to him? He says, one second, let me go further. He says, come here, my son. I have to see if you're really my son Esav or not. I want to believe it. I want to believe that this is really you, but I can't. I can't bring myself to believe it. And he touches him. And he says, in the ultimate moment of triumph, Hakol kol Yaakov v'hayidayim yidei Esav. I did it. I made my Esav into an Esav who speaks like Yaakov. I said, I did it. We did it, son. We accomplished what we set out to do. Now I can give you the blessings. What blessings? The blessings that you will be the leader. Doesn't mean Yaakov is nothing. Doesn't mean, but the blessing, Yaakov will also be rich. But you are the Gvir. Yaakov is going to need you. Yaakov is going to need you to be the leader, to take care of worldly matters. You can do it, L'shem Shemayim. And then he says further, what? He can't believe it. He blesses him right away. Blessing number one. He's 100% convinced it's Esav, but he can't believe it. He's so euphoric. He says, are you really my son Esav? Not further interrogation. He just can't get over it. And he says, are you really my son Esav? Yes, I am. And then he says, come here. I want to eat from your hunting. L'shem Shemayim. I want to eat from what you brought me. And he eats. And he says, I can't contain myself. I have to kiss you. He kisses him. And then he says that weird line. He says that weird line, Re'ei Re'ach B'ni K'Re'ach HaSadeh Asher B'Rachol Hashem. He says, Esav, you always smelled like a field because you were a man of the fields. But you know what you smell like now? You smell K'Re'ach HaSadeh Asher B'Rachol Hashem. You smell like a field that Hashem blessed. Right? And Rashi says, you know what that means? He's saying, you smell like Gan Eden. Gan Eden's also a garden. It's also a field. If you guys don't mind sitting tight for 10 minutes. There's going to be stuff coming over the PA. I apologize. But if it's possible, you have chaburs anyway, so I don't feel that bad. Anyway, but, so he says, you smell like Gan Eden. He says, you smell like a field, but a field that had the Ribono Shel Olam blessed. And then he gives them the blessings. And the blessings make perfect sense now. Why? They were only for Esav. They were only for a certain type of person. He blesses them. You're going to have tremendous atzlach in Gashmius. You're going to be a great leader. Right? You're going to be the leader. Doesn't mean Yaakov's not going to be in anything. Yaakov is going to be the Rav. He's going to be the spiritual guidance. He's going to be the spiritual leader. But you are going to be the leader in this world. And you're going to share the mantle of the next generation. And he gives him the blessing, and then comes Esav. And what does he say right away, different than Yaakov? Yakum avi, my father should get up. Not disrespectful, but not sweet like Yaakov. Right, Rashi pointed that out before with Yaakov. Yakum avi v'ochem itzeid b'no. Let my father get up. All of a sudden, he's like, that sounds like regular Esav. And he has charado gedolo ad me'od. Because imagine the state that he was in before when he realizes that all of his hopes and dreams were accomplished, and then to realize, no, they weren't. I actually did not succeed in the way that I thought I did. That was Yaakov doing something that I thought Yaakov could never do. Yaakov could never be a worldly enough person to trick me like that. And Esav is the same Esav that I always thought he was. And he has this great letdown, this great trembling. And he says to Esav, I was wrong about everything. And Yaakov will be blessed. Not because he stole the blessing, but because you're not the man I wanted you to be.
You have to hand in your ping pong and Madden tournament forms. Ooh. Yes, you have to hand in ping pong and tournament Madden forms. Right now, that's his office. Please clean up your cheer rooms with all sederim and stuff that are going to be used for the open house. Every room should be clean, everything put away. The open house, if you volunteered, you please be here on Sunday at 12:45. Please be here on Sunday at 12:45.
Okay. So anyway, so that's why he says to Esav, I don't have any more brothers. What, he ran out of blessings? He didn't run out of blessings. He just said, the blessing I gave Yaakov is for him, not for you. I thought it was for you, but it's really for him. Right? He says, and in fact, if you incorporate Rashi, I'm trying to incorporate as few midrashim as possible to show you how this really does fit into the text very well. But if you incorporate Rashi, when Rashi says, Vayecherad cheradog gidolad me'od, he came, when Esav came in, Yitzchak saw Gehenim open in front of him. And he said, that was the first time he ever saw Esav. He says, Esav, I smelled what I thought was Esav, and it smelled like Gan Eden. And now Esav comes in, and it still smells like Gehenna. And it's the ultimate letdown for a father. And he says to Esav, you're not who I thought you were. You are who I thought you were. You're not who I hoped you would be. And that gets to Esav more than anything. And he cries, and he's bitter, and he wants to kill his brother. But Yitzchak, realizing he was wrong, still blesses Esav with great wealth, and he says, you'll still be a great nation, but your role as leader of Klal Yisrael is never going to happen. You know what you're going to be? You're going to be the foil for Klal Yisrael. You're going to be the mirror image of Klal Yisrael, the opposite of Klal Yisrael. When Klal Yisrael goes up, you go down, but when they go down, you're going to be there to punish them. That's not what I wanted for you, but that's what it has to be. And Yitzchak, realizing that he gave the blessings to Yaakov, and it was the right call, what is he? He's proud of Yaakov. He's happy with Yaakov. And he says to Yaakov, now it's time for you to go realize your destiny as the only one of the Avos. It's time for you to go get married. You can't get married from here. The Avos go back, right? And that's why Rivka, why is Rivka so dramatic? If Yaakov's going to marry a girl from Benos Kenan, why am I even alive? What do you mean, why am I even alive? It's the same as before. It's the same as before. Guys, I have a singular goal, says Rivka, to raise the next generation of Klal Yisrael. We now have discovered it's Yaakov, not Esav. So what are we doing? Why am I even alive? Why am I here if not to help Yaakov recognize his destiny? Send him where the Avos go to get married. Not Esav. Esav married someone from here. He's not one of the Avos. And Yitzchak calls Yaakov in. He blesses him again. And he says, this is it. I was hoping you and Esav would both get the blessings of Avram Avinu. I was hoping you and Esav would both be of the Avos. But now I see it's just you. And he gives him the blessing of Yaakov Avinu, of Avram Avinu. He gives him Eretz Yisrael. And he says, go marry your cousin. Go marry from the family. Doesn't sound so good in modern times, but he says, go marry your cousin. Go to Paddan Aram. That's where the Avos go to get married. And then the Parsha ends off. I think this is the real solid ending here. So what's the last thing in the Parsha? The last thing in the Parsha is Esav still wanting to please his father, still loving his father, still loving his mother. They treated him like anyone would treat a son that they love so much. But he's not the future anymore of Klal Yisrael. He's Esav. He is what he is. He's my son and I love him. But he's not Klal Yisrael. Esav, still wanting to please his father, says, I see what happens. My father doesn't approve of the women around here, so I'll go get married from the family. But what does he do? He goes and marries the daughter of Yishmael. And that's the Parsha coming full circle. We started off, who's going to be the next one of the Avos, and who's going to be the next Yishmael? Who's going to be the one cast by the wayside? Rivka knows it's Yaakov all along. Yitzchak thinks it's also Esav. And the Parsha ends with Yitzchak choosing Yaakov as the next one of the Avos, and Esav going and becoming the next Yishmael. Anyway, that's basically the gist of it. You'll see, Mirtz Hashem, next week we'll try to talk some more. The idea continues on throughout the rest of the Sefer. But this is where it's the clearest, I think. Anyway.